Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and Matt is still unable to be with us, but he is working, doing his job, helping other people, and I spoke to him recently, and he will be back with us soon. But the great part is that we've got quite a surprise for you. My guest co-host today is internationally known comedian, writer, and voice actor, Craig Shoemaker. Some may know him for his baritone voice character, The Love Master, which he routinely portrays in his comedy act. And when I say international, Craig, I wanted to share with you that last year I was in Romania, and we were talking about a variety of things, and I had mentioned you.
In Romania. A place I've never been. I've never been to the Chuckle Hut in Romania.
Well, apparently they know you because I mentioned you, and one of the people there said, wait, I think I know him. And they went, you mean Love Master? And I said,
everyone tries to do it.
Exactly. Yeah. And so I knew at that time that that they had the right guy.
Let me hear you try it.
Wow.
The Love Master, baby.
No, that's you. That's baby. All you.
You could have got away with that. You could have said, that was Alan there, right there.
And you know what? I should have. Well, anyway, let me share with them a little more about you. And, I mean, Craig has received many honors over the years from his peers and the public. Amongst other awards, in 1997, he was named the funniest male stand-up comic at the American Comedy Awards. Now, in 2003, he founded LaughterHeals.org, a nonprofit organization dedicated to using laughter as a healing modality. In 2015, Craig published Love Mastered, A Digital Journey to Love and Happiness, which details a long correspondence between himself and a woman known only as Leah about their struggles with divorce and relationships. And I know most recently you were also writing on the new show. It was the
Fuller House.
Fuller House, yes, yeah. The remake on Fuller House.
Yeah.
So you're obviously keeping very busy.
Which is appropriate. The show that we're doing here is about family, and the reason they brought me in is I have a family.
Exactly.
And they knew that I knew what I was writing about because that's a show about family.
That's right.
One of the few family shows left, by the way.
Exactly.
In sitcom world.
Yes.
Especially the multi-camera.
Yes. And
it was a cool experience.
Yeah. And I believe that. I saw the original show, and then I saw a couple episodes of the newer one, and I thought it was really something. It was the type of show that you could sit down with your whole family and watch.
Yeah.
And that made it nice.
I grew up in a single-parent family, and that's what the old show was about. That was about all females being brought up by a widower, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I was brought up by all females, by the way. My first shave was something called an epilady. That was... The only things that were available in our house were feminine products. I thought tampons were sticks of dynamite. I used to put my ear to the door when the girls would go in there. And I'd like wait for the explosion. I thought, geez, another dud? It didn't work because it looked like a fuse. And
yeah.
I had so much confusion growing up. And I think that's why Jeff hired me to write on the show. And now I had three sons and now I have a little daughter. So I have four children. So I definitely know what I'm my experience as a family.
Yeah, and
both good and bad.
Yeah, right. And I think I've seen that change in your act as you've gone from the person 20 years ago that wrote a lot more about sort of the...
Well, about getting laid.
Exactly. Yeah, that's
pretty
much it.
It was about starting a family, and now I have one.
Yes, that's great.
That's what Love Master was all about. But now it's funny... You know, I don't know how fate works, but I did develop that character. It was a response because all the girls in high school would use the F word with me, you know, friend.
Oh,
I was
yes.
always the friend, and I hated that. I was the geek, and they'd always go for the bad guy, so I gave him the Love Master.
Love Master, ladies. Oh, I love you so good, your neighbor will have a smoke, baby.
And so he's like my answer to them, and now I've found true, divine, incredible love with my wife and children. So all that search for this, and who knew that that's what it was all about. So Now
I was going to say, but that's great because it's sort of going full circle. You've gotten to that point that you were trying to get at all the time.
Yeah, well, maybe semi-circle. I never came from the love. My dad left when I was born, and my mom never said I love you and still doesn't. So, yeah, that's the pain that the comedians come from. But I acknowledge that pain and move from it and share my experiences. That's what my book is about. A lot of the book is a woman reached out to me, and I really could feel what she was going through. So I shared my experiences with her. On Facebook, private message. I didn't even know her. She's like a fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of knew her. And something told me, my instincts, the same creative instincts that I use on stage, something compelled me to write to her in a different way. And midway through this writing, I couldn't wait to come back to my hotel room and see what she said to me. I mean, she's a beautiful writer, by the way. She was amazing. I was like amused to her. So she exposed all of these things that she never even spoke to a therapist about, or her family or friends. It came to me. I said, this should be the book. So the book is our exchange over a year. We time stamped it and everything on Facebook of her dealing with these, you know, things that she had never dealt with. She never admitted to anyone that her husband was an alcoholic and abusive. And so she exposed this all to me, and I gave back to her. I fed back to her some of the ways I got through those really, really difficult times, especially my old marriage. So my former marriage. And I get to tell her what it's like now, which is a wonderful thing. So, you know, the book has a beautiful, happy ending. I don't want to spoil it in case anyone gets it. It's called Love Mastered. You can get it, you know, go to CraigShoemaker.com or whatever, Amazon and all that. But they get the money then. but my family needs the money. But at the end, I actually fix her up with a guy 3,000 miles away who is also going through a horrible, painful, abusive marriage. And now they're madly in love and married.
So the love master became the matchmaker.
That's the thing is, I've always done this. I fixed up 9 marriages in my life, not including my own. That would put me in double figures. But anyway, I love fixing people up. It's like an instinct that I have. And that's what I respond to on stage and off, you know.
Well, my sister said she was taking away my picker, and I wasn't allowed to pick my own dates anymore. So I may need some help in that area.
Oh, you're
as well.
Single?
Yes.
Well, if honestly, between you and me and whoever's listening, the 3 people listening, I'm kidding. I'm a joker. Remember who you have on here.
Yeah.
I love fixing people up, and I need dudes. I have a whole crop of women.
Ooh, I
a
like
female.
This.
Oh, yeah. I need good guys.
Yes.
That's the thing is, there are great people out there that just go off track because they don't know where the track is.
You just focus on other things. You know, if you're raising children and that becomes your focus, and then so now you're not looking in the other area.
That's not necessarily true. There's 24/7 hours. I mean, you know, there's time in the day. I think that might be a reason, but I think the primary reason is we don't have the examples out there. What are we following? We're following mayhem and fear and chaos, and that's all that they create for you,
right?
Because you know, and we empower people with money to solve our problems when really we have to look within to figure things out. And really that source, not a news source, which is all corporate money, and you know, they're just telling you how to feel,
right?
But you have to check in with yourself how you feel. Do you feel like there's somebody coming to invade you, or are you invading your own space by not being in your own integrity? I mean, these are the kind of things that we need to bring into a relationship. We're whole and complete. There's no "you complete me" like that stupid movie. That always bothered me. You complete me. No, we're complete and whole as we are, but we get fractured by what's out there. And I think if we do become whole, wow, 2 whole people meeting, oh, man, what a beautiful way to live.
Yeah, and I love the fact that you're referring to it as whole people, because I had somebody that said, you know, I'm just looking for a 50-50 relationship. And I said, how about 100-100?
Yeah,
you know, why don't we both give 100? If somebody's only giving half, what are they not giving it?
Right. You're holding back. Well, it's due to fear and doubt and worry and all those things, because, look, how do politicians campaign? They campaign on convincing you of your lack and your limitations. We're saying, oh, here, we're even going to give you a job. Like, you know, here, make some cake out of these crumbs that I'm going to give you because I have the power. No, we have the power within.
Yeah.
We have the power of a divine power within that can guide us. But we don't go to that. We're too afraid of it. I mean, it's called potential. It's potent. We're afraid of the potency. So go embrace that and feel that and see what happens with your life. I can't believe what I come from and what I have today. When I look at my wife, it just today just comes up to me, just stops everything we're doing for the one moment to say, just wanted to give you some appreciation.
I love it.
And she listed some things that she appreciated about me, and including how I am with the children. And normally in my old self would go, you know, because we're all taught, hey, be humble and all that. I said, thank you. You know, I mean, I didn't try to dismiss it. And, you know, because I was given a message of, oh, you're cocky and all that kind of stuff. If you, you know, if somebody compliments you, you throw it off and everything else. No, allow that space to happen. And what a wonderful way to live. There's no argument in it. There's no conflict. And I got to tell you, I come from absolute nothing. You know, nothing was being taught. Nothing was being demonstrated. We had no money. We had no means. We had we were evicted from home to home. And what I have today, you know, has nothing to do with, by the way, how much money I make. To have that, I don't understand why we don't see more examples of that on television. We're so addicted, like addicts, to the bad.
Right.
And then we run with that. And then we try to find people to collude with those lack of thoughts, really, is what they are. I mean, it's really not deep thinking to just chant things and be told how to think. This is wonderful to be able to just have this centered expression of divine love. Poof. Where do you ever hear that out there? Divine love. Do you ever even hear that? So I'm looking for a crop of guys, because I got the women, because, you know, I'm good friends with a lot of women, and they're single, and they, you know, they're a little confused too. It's like what to search for. But if you search for someone who sees you for who you truly are, which is magnificent and wonderful and beautiful, if they just that one premise alone will guide you through the rest of your life. Just find that person that sees who you truly are, not what they dictate you to be. Based on some past ideas of what a man is, oh, you're a creep, you're a pig, you're an ass, or women, oh, they're bitches and whores and all that kind of stuff. You see what I mean? It's like,
oh, yeah.
It's like we project that onto them based on our past, but if we look at them for who they truly are and their magnificence, what a way to live is to look at people like that. And that's all a relationship really needs.
Is
all
gratitude.
The rest follows after that. Is extreme gratitude.
Yeah. And in fact, one of the things that we have, and we talk about sometimes on this show, is my son and I wrote a journal, and it's the 21-day attitude of gratitude journal.
Wow.
And each day you write three things that you are grateful for, and you build as you go for 21 days.
That's awesome. So,
and you start out just talking about it with yourself, but as you get further into it, you're now focusing on telling others. Because sometimes it's a little easier to tell yourself things that you're grateful for, but now you now start sharing with others. And so that's one of the things that we've done, and we offer it free to everybody because we want everybody to
have a wonderful lesson that you're passing on, as opposed to how many hours in a day do we spend talking about politics and trying to change someone's mind in politics. So you couldn't spend maybe a tiny fraction of that time in gratitude of what you do have, or even being grateful for the situation, which you can grow from. Mm-hmm. I'm having a really hard time with the politics, not necessarily who's in charge, but that does affect me when I hear some certain things that don't resonate with me properly. Sure. If I express that, you're going to attack me. If I just express from my heart, I had a guy, I said something in my newsletter about there's a division that's going on in our United States. I never mentioned the name. He goes, get me off your mailing list.
Because
I love Trump. I love Trump. That doesn't mean I don't love Trump because I said this. I don't love what's happening to our society. It's obvious what's happening. It's obvious that it's not a United States. It's obvious it's a divided state. And if I see someone kind of adding to that, as he does, I have issue with that, and I would want him to do better. I love him enough and love my country enough to suggest better, like a gratitude list. What if he came out with a gratitude list? Wouldn't that be a great lesson? Am I being some anarchist? Am I being a communist because I suggest that? No, I'm not.
Not at all.
Or am I being a Hollywood liberal jackass, you know, who doesn't have an opinion because I say, hey, this works for me. It's work. We have a gratitude list we do. Since they can speak, we do it around the dinner table.
Oh, that's
so
great.
We either do gratitude list or what I love about you. And each person goes to the next person at the table. There's six of us and says, okay, mama, here's what I love about you. And then, and they give a list. And the kids are so simple with it. You know, the really young ones, it's like, you know, I'm grateful for the whole wide world. It's just, great.
Sure.
Great. And that's their perspective. Sure. And that's it's wonderful. But we get to set that intention with them and set that perspective.
And doing it every day is beautiful.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the kind of thing. And I know that, I mean, so for Thanksgiving, that was one of the things that we did is we said, oh, we want everybody to write something. That's only one day out of the
right.
year.
Right. And that's what we do in this society. We do things once a year or holiday season. You're nice to somebody or you go give clothes. Go give your clothes on a Monday in the middle of the year. You know what I mean? Who cares? You know what I mean? Just go do it and see how great you feel in doing it. And don't expect anything back because you will get something back. By giving, you get.
Exactly.
And we have the exact opposite paradigm being taught to us by government, by corporations, by the corporations who own the media and the whole voice. And dissenting voices should be appreciated and embraced. Because it's not out there.
No, I couldn't agree more. And in many cases, when people start on one of those rants, and I'll say, who benefits from that?
Right.
Who do you think benefits from pushing that agenda? You know, not you, not me. So let's focus on something positive.
And also be an example. You know, I mean, so if Donald Trump says childish things, which I do believe some of these things are absolutely, I would talk to my children if they spoke to that. I'd have a good discussion with them saying, really, you mocked the handicapped person? Wait a minute. You just put a mass label on an entire culture? Wait a minute. You called women ugly and pigs? No, that's not going to fly in this family. Let's reset. I talk about resetting.
Yeah.
My 12-year-old, sometimes I drive him to school. Sometimes he walks to the bus, and I walk him to the bus. I love walking with the family. He was whining, drive me. And I said, you know what? You're going to reset, or you're getting on the bus. He reset. I said, take a breath. You allow that breath to happen and pause and stop coming from this place of entitlement. And guess what? He changed. He shifted everything. And we got to the bus. And I said, I'll drive you. Let's walk home and I'll drive you to school. We walked all the way back. We walked his brother to school. And he got that lesson instead of a punishment, instead of a shaming or admonishment or hurting him. I got to suggest to him in a different way. And it works. We just adopt all these policies, you know, from this patriarchal society that we developed here of punishment and, you know, going after people and thinking if you're the loudest, you're the best, or if you win, there's an illusion of that. No, there has to be. I hope that there's a voice that grows out of all of this. That's why I embrace the Donald Trump presidency and hope that, and I see, by the way, the things that he is doing that are outside of the box. You know, he just got Elon Musk, you know, the guy from Tesla guy, a clean energy guy. He's listening to him. There's a great step in the direction. Let's embrace that and endorse that instead of just constantly saying he's not my president. I'll never have that hashtag, not my president. No, he is the president and he can do better. We all can, right?
We all can do.
You don't just go, God bless America, and you go, whatever he says goes. That's a total dictatorship. No, you suggest to him or protest when you see something that divides us, when you see something that possibly demonstrates a racism or bigotry. No, you want to point that out to someone, and then maybe they might get it. And by the way, but for the grace of God go I, I've been like that. I've been like that. He's a reflection of me. I've been a dominant white male, but not happy doing that. There was an illusion of being happy. Wasn't happy being that. I'm happy today. Mm-hmm. And here's the process it took to get here. It took stopping that narrative, stopping and pausing and checking out what really, really vibrates. And most of us will come to that conclusion that beating someone into submission to dominate them, to control them, will never, ever
work.
Ever work to happiness. We're pursuing happiness in the country. It's never worked in the history of the world. There's nobody going, ha, 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 look at all the people I put in prison. Hey, isn't that funny? Hey, look at my artwork I have because I rip people off. There's nobody laughing. I know rich people, by the way. There's some great ones, but there's also some people that they really do think that that's going to lead to happiness, and it doesn't. They're giving you a tour of their house, and meanwhile, there's no happiness. You're sitting there going, what an ass. And they're sitting there bragging about things that they didn't really earn.
You know, I wrote up a paper, and I called it GNH, Gross National Happiness. I said, we focus on our gross national product, but what about gross national happiness? And there are some countries that...
Bhutan,
exactly.
Exactly. We talk about that in Laughter Heals.
Yeah.
In our organization.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but I've sent that to the powers to be. I've sent it to the Republicans, the Democrats, and the Libertarians.
Yeah.
And said, let's focus on this. Let's start... Why don't we have a department? We have departments of everything and spend billions of dollars on it, and we don't have a department of happiness?
I've been saying for years, how about a laughter lobby?
There you go.
Laughter's the best medicine, and yet we spend trillions of dollars on these medicines that a lot of them kill people. A lot of them, people overdose on them. A lot of them are gateways to other drugs that lead to death. But just let it go. Just keep on letting them slide. And the FDA is all, they just give them free reign. Hey, whatever you want. And then the FCC monitors and censors a comedian who thinks outside of the box and says an F word. How important is it? I said, do you think your kid's going to be at the top of a tower with a rifle one day? You know, go, Craig Shoemaker said the F word on TV and he ruined me for life. Take it all. F you. No. He might be on some medication he should have been on.
For the last 6 years.
Because some doctor was empowered to make sure that he was controlled as a child because he was acting out.
Mm-hmm.
No, he wasn't acting in the way you wanted him to in that moment. Did you ever think about resetting with him and resetting and making sure that he feels very comfortable in his home and safe? Safe and not in a way like some terrorist is going to come in your door. I love that one too, by the way. ISIS. When in doubt, go to ISIS.
Yeah.
Yeah, we caught you on tape talking about grabbing the P word. What about ISIS?
Yes.
It's the most amazing thing how we feel. We have a certain feeling inside of us that can be completely compromised by words of fear. Boom, it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
Your own sense of self is gone. But I don't, but there's no one out there, really, in mainstream media at least, that's saying, can we all take this moment of silence? You imagine that, by the way. Say a moment of silence before we begin our CNN broadcast.
Right. They go, what about our advertisers?
Hi, this is Anderson Cooper, and I'd like to meditate for a few minutes and bring us all together and in peace and harmony. Let's see if we can have some harmony and unite the United States. No, it's right off our first up on the news.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Exactly. And yet, you and I are on... probably being listened to by four people.
Yeah.
You're related to three of them.
Well, five because my mom's off today.
She did a good job, Mom. You did a good job. You raised a good boy.
Now I'm
going to fix him up with somebody.
Even better. Now, you mentioned a little bit about your Laughter Heals Foundation. Tell us a little bit about that as to, you know, when you made that choice and what it is that you're doing through the foundation.
I'm glad you asked that question. It's interesting. When I made the choice, and it really was that. So I'm going about this career. It's gone great. You know, I've been doing it since high school. Pretty, you know, people say, you need something to fall back on. Those people are on their ninth job right now. I have the same one since high school. So talk about falling back. I did okay. Obviously, there's the credits that you read off and more. And unbelievable career. But most of it in the beginning and all through the years was about self. And it was about having needs met. My mom is... literally never loved, like said, I love you, or, you know, she expresses it in other ways, I guess, through, you know, doesn't speak to me in a very long time now. But so that pain stays with me. My father leaving when I was born stays with me. I'm like, was it something I said? I was just born. Wah, and he's gone. So I mean, like, so it's how I dealt with it. What I used to search for these things on the outside that I thought could fix this big old thing on the inside, this wound. So I would do comedy, but it was to get laid, you know, I'd get attention. And I would always go for women that were kind of like my mom. Everybody goes for looks, of, you know, good looks. I go for looks of disdain. That was what I was attracted to. You give me a bad look, I'd look in an audience, they'd be standing, it would give me a standing ovation. And I'd see the one person sitting going, what's wrong with them? I mean, they could be from another country, didn't understand a word I said, but it has nothing, or paralyzed, can't get up. I'd go, what's wrong with them? How come I couldn't do her? How come I couldn't convince her? Look at me. And then one day, one of my best friends who directed the Love Master movie, and he was also one of my quote-unquote subjects, all these people come up to me after the shows, and they'll say, we couldn't have children, and then we saw your show, and he became the Love Master, and we laughed, and now we have a baby. So all these babies have been conceived. One was conceived in the parking lot of the Brea Improv. I kid you not. They sent me the photo, not of the action, but the
Yeah, I was going to say, that might be a little graphic.
Yeah, and every guy tries to be the Love Master, and it loosens things up, and that's what laughter does. It really does heal. It worked for Golds, my friend who directed the movie. We were filming, and she was ovulating. Karen was ovulating, and baby Kayla was born. 9 months later. A year and a half after that, he got brain cancer. Oh. And that's when the choice was made. This is not about me anymore. We showed up for him. A gang of us showed up for him, you know, gave him his shots and moved in with him and, you know, went with him to Duke and all these protocols for the brain cancer. They gave him 3 months to live. Mm. I said, you know what? This guy loves to laugh more than anybody. He'd even created his child, possibly. And so we form Laughter Heals, and we go to cancer facilities and rehabs, and we teach people how to find laughter in their lives, how to get rid of the negative messages, turn off the news, for instance. Mm-hmm. And we take them through guided laughidations. These programs that I developed through the years, through my own instincts that I was using to write comedy, I wrote a program of basically recovery.
Laugh therapy.
Laugh therapy, exactly. Yeah. And he showed up at every one of them. And we just laughed. We would laugh. He had a seizure standing up in Philadelphia. And, you know, Philadelphians, down in front, jackass. and we're like trying to whisper, he has cancer. He's having a seizure. Seizure, my ass. Sit down. I'm trying to look at the game. And we laughed. We're laughing during his seizure. I mean, but you can. You know, life is short. Might as well. And he lived 15 years past that prognosis of the doctor said you're going to die in 3 months, 3 to 6 months. And he didn't accept that, and he lived in joy. He tried to find as much joy as he could, which is a reason to live. You know, his daughter also, obviously she gives him great joy, but
he got to see her grow up.
He did. And what a beautiful young lady. Oh, my God. So awesome. And he finally passed away, and we didn't have a funeral, we had a funeral. We made fun of him. She got to know him. She went on stage and said, wow, I really know my dad now, because she only knew him as sick. And we went up there and we tell the funniest stories about him. And he, by the way, he made, had like 9 lives. Everybody, people go, oh, go say goodbye to him, he's in a hospital. That was like 2004. You know, that went on 2006. He's gone again. No, kept going. And I turn around and go, I swear he's going to walk on this stage right now. Hey, guys, what's up? It's Colts. And I made him laugh on his deathbed, made him laugh. And I got great joy out of that moment. And we filmed that. We're doing a documentary about the healing powers of laughter, taking 7 patients with various illnesses through laughter programs. And we'll see it before our very eyes, mm-hmm. what laughter does. If it's the great medicine, then why are we not doling out that medicine? Instead of stuff that masks the pain, this stuff that
I can
really
tell you why.
Works.
I can tell you why. Because
money.
Because the big pharma has not figured out how to monetize it.
No.
If they figure out how to monetize it, they would use it.
Well, if you go see comedians, you know, we monetize it. Very small amount of money compared to what you could pay for drugs. But yeah, go to the Irvine Improv this weekend.
Well, in fact,
improv.com and. Yeah. And buy tickets to see my show.
Right. And
you know?
I was going to say, I think February 11th, 12th?
It's this weekend.
Yeah, it's this weekend. Yeah. So 11th, 12th, 13th, something
and
like
Valentine's
that.
Day, good time to take your lady out.
I set her up, you knock her down, babe.
Valentine's Day, Tuesday. What a great date night. Take your lady to laugh. And by the way, you don't have to talk to them for 2 hours. Look, you're with your mate all the time. I'll do the talking. And then you'd finish it off, you know, later, you know, and then you've laughed, you had a great time, you can talk about what you just heard, and Valentine's Day, Flappers in Burbank. That's a really cool comedy club. I'll be there. The Love Master will be bringing the love and the laughter this week in Irvine Improv. But I just think that we need more of it. So comedy clubs, even if you don't see me, I'm not saying it in a selfish way, go check out comedy every week you can. You will live longer, you will live better, You will oxygenate your body, healing endorphins will be released, and your stress will be relieved through laughter. You don't have to think about somebody on Facebook telling you how to think.
That's right. And again, if for those of you, if you're driving, if you can't write that down, go to our site. We'll have all that information on there as well at the Answers for the Family site. So again, it's Irvine Improv, it's Burbank Improv, whatever side of the town you're on.
And then I'll be in Valencia. So just go to CraigShoemaker.com. Just remember that name. You don't have to write it down. Just you take your shoes to the maker, not the mocker. There's no umlaut, not off the boat from Bavaria. Just CraigShoemaker.com. You get more information on Laughter Heals. Maybe get the book, help my kids through college.
Perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
Help, and all my shows this year are benefit shows, and all proceeds go to my ex-wife. I just thought I'd let you know that your cover goes to philanthropic efforts like her Botox and Pilates class. That's a joke, folks.
There you go, guys.
But there's always truth and humor.
There you go. There's reason enough right there. All right. Well, we're going to take a break. Craig, can you stay with us?
Yes, absolutely.
All right. Craig is going to stay with us for everybody. We'll be about a minute. And when we come back, we are going to be talking with Penny Pierce, and we're going to be talking about perception of the future. Stay with us.
Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shield specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you.
And we're back. You're listening to Answers for the Family. With me is our guest co-host, Craig Shoemaker, and our guest today is Penny Pierce. Penny is a respected and gifted intuitive empath with deep psychological understanding, visionary ability, and good business sense. She is one of the early pioneers in the intuition development movement. A popular author, lecturer, counselor, and trainer, Penny specializes in intuition and sensitivity development as well as future trends. She travels through the world working as an advisor to business executives, scientists, psychologists, and other consultants and trainers. Penny has been on the faculty of the Kaiser Institute working with their Intuition Fellowship Program to train hospital CEOs, healthcare consultants, and philanthropists in the development of their visionary skills. She has also worked with futurists, shamans, and led spiritual tours to Mount Fiji, Peru, and Egypt. And she is here to talk about her new book, Leap of Perception, The Transforming Power of Your Attention. Penny, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Well, it is great to have you. I got a chance to read the book, and I really love the fact that you focus on a lot of really positive things about the things that we can and do perceive.
Uh-huh.
Oh. Okay. I heard a click. Thought for a minute that we lost you. Tell us a little bit about the book and what it is that, as you were doing all these travels, at what point did you decide, you know what, I'm going to write a book about this so that I can share it with more people?
I have been doing a lot of intuitive work with individuals in private readings and teaching intuition development training early on. and it just felt like the next, I always used to ask myself, what's the next courageous act? And I knew it was to write the book about that material. So that became The Intuitive Way, which was my first book. And now I'm just about to come out with the 10th one in the fall. So I don't know. It just seemed like the process. Every couple of years, I'd get the next ideas.
Now, share with us a little bit about intuition in general. I mean, there are a lot of myths out there of what people believe intuition is. Share with us a little bit more about your view of it.
Well, I differentiate between being psychic and being intuitive. I think being psychic is a subset of intuition, that intuition is something we all have. We use it every day. We may not call attention to it or recognize that we're using it, but we usually make decisions quite often based on our intuition, which is, I always think of it as kind of a feeling state of deep comfort, you know, where you lean towards something, where you feel a sense of release towards something rather than a contraction, a lump in your stomach, you know, or your throat. And you really have your criteria based on whether the choice brings you increased life force and self-entertainment and joy and productivity, you know. And so I think intuition comes very directly. It's not about logic and proof. It's about a direct sense of things. You know, it comes almost right through your body.
What do you suggest as far, this is Craig Shoemaker, what do you suggest as far as a process to get to that space of vibration where people can truly listen to their intuitive self and not their fears and doubts and worries and all the other things that are sort of implanted into us? What is a good process to follow?
I think that we have something, I call it your truth and anxiety signals.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very simple thing. You know, when you know someone's telling the truth or when you know something's just right for you to do, there will be an actual physical sensation that we get. And the same thing for when somebody's telling you a lie or something's dangerous or it's not right for you, you'll have a contraction. You know, and so the truth signals are often that feeling of release, of bubbling up, of getting warm, of having spreading energy, like, you know, people say they've got energy that comes up the spine and goes out through their shoulders and down their arms, and they say, I get chills, you know I heard the truth. That's one of them. Or if you hear a lie, often you will get, your solar plexus will contract into a knot, and you'll almost get nauseous at times. Or your energy will withdraw from your extremities, and you get the feet of clay, you know, your cold hands and feet. I mean, so these are physical symptoms that are quick reads about whether something is true or right for you or false and maybe not so good for you.
But don't you think...
I always start with the body.
Right, but the body needs to be in a centered place. What would be a good way, a repetitive way to get to that centered place? Because a lot of people respond to what they're used to, which could be, you know, the fight or flight, and it could be that something was, you know, fear was put into them. And then they believe that their intuition, it starts to become a repetitive thing if they respond in the same way through chanting and violence and things like that. So how do they get to that centered place? What do you suggest they do to get to there where they can access their intuitive self, which is much more peaceful and loving?
I think that, of course, meditation is always great to be able to quiet the left brain. You know, the left brain is that part of our consciousness that has all the shoulds and often negative opinions about everything and doesn't really want too much change. But it is language-oriented. And the right brain, which leads you straight into your intuition, is this kind of all-at-once perception. You know, it's artistic ability. It's sort of an immersion into the moment. And it doesn't have language. It emerges when you're quiet. So if you can stop your internal dialogue, that's like a great first step. And be okay with being in silence for a minute. hardly anybody today can be quiet for very long or be without gadgets. But if we can get quiet and just start to feel inside the body, listen to your heart, work with your breath, simple things, you know.
Now, Penny, I would say, Penny, what
and do you... that's good. But also, you don't have to do that in order to get access to your intuition. You can do this feeling of, is this bringing me deep comfort, or am I just like superficially feeling comfortable? Because you have to teach yourself what of your reactions are based on, you know, subconscious blocks and fear, and which of them are really true. And you do that by validating what you've done and checking it out and seeing if it works, you know, and then on to the next one.
Now, Penny, that makes great sense in regards to kind of bringing us back and getting us back to it. I remember sitting down with my grandmother some years ago, and she sat down and explained her level of intuition. And she was like an empath herself. She had great intuition, and she said that she felt that now, you know, a couple of generations later, that we've lost the patience to be able to read our own feelings and to read our own thoughts and recognize or have that intuition. And she felt that it was sort of something that we have lost. And I'm curious if you, A, feel the same way, and if so, why? Why did we do this?
I think she's very wise, and I think that it's a complicated situation. For one thing, there are a lot of young people who are coming into the world today, and they're, you know, they've been coming in for several generations now, but they're, I think, highly sophisticated souls with a tremendous amount of empathy, sensitivity, and maybe even overly sensitive. You know, and they need a special kind of training to be able to bring their higher knowledge down through the emotional realm, which I think is quite disruptive for them, to get it into the body. But they are highly sensitive, so they haven't lost their intuition at all. They have to just smooth it out, I think. But there are others of us that have gotten so absorbed with cell phones and gadgets that we forgot to pay attention to our own bodies. So it can seem like we've lost it, but I think people are just as sensitive as ever, even more so now. And, of course, we're living in really crazy time where a lot of, I think it's actually quite positive, though, where a lot of the fear that was stuffed down in the subconscious mind and unavailable, that we could deny it and pretend it wasn't there, we can no longer pretend it isn't there. Because the frequency on the whole planet has gone up so much, you know, that now that stuff is popping up into the conscious mind, and it's sort of everywhere around us, you know, in, from politics to world events, you know. And so now it seems negative out there.
Well, we have,
but actually it's positive.
Well, we have a question coming in that I think goes right to that point that you make. And this one, this one comes in via email and says, as a teacher, I have a question about the way our youth perceives the world, family, and their peers. I have witnessed a disconnect in empathy and feelings in my students in the last few years. I believe this is directly attributed to the increased use of technology and texting rather than direct one-on-one interactions. What is your observation, and how do you recommend we help them? And that comes from Georgina.
Okay, that's a great question. I think that the disconnect of empathy is really a disconnect from the body. Like I said before, that I do think it has a lot to do with the technology and screen addiction, you know, where people are looking outside themselves for things. But also, I do believe that a lot of these, I'm going to call them soul groups that have been coming into the world, have been used to not being physical before. They've been maybe in the mental realms where everything's very interconnected and very much group-oriented. It's like a big group mind where everybody knows everything and everything's interconnected. And so when they come into the physical body, they have trouble, I think, being individuals. You know, they hang out in gangs and groups. You know, they learn together, they date together, you know, and part of it is I think they're going to invent things together and bring their higher knowledge through together, but they need each other. So when the idea comes where they have to be individuals, I think it's difficult for them. It's scary. And that may be part of why they give off the, you know, idea of being disconnected or lack of empathy. But I think the empathy comes in when they get connected with groups and online and with social media and with social causes. So I think that's part of it. The other part of her question, I think, was what to do.
Yes.
And I think that helping them slow down and get disconnected from the gadgets and instead turn their attention inside to see what their intuition brings them, to track their feeling states and their vibrational energetic states, you know, to put attention on that, which is just as fascinating. You know, it's actually more fascinating than what's on your cell phone. And just to get them interested in that inner virtual reality, I think that's what we need. And maybe sometimes forms of art, music, sculpture, you know, that helps a lot getting out of the left brain and into the right brain and into the body.
Sometimes as a parent, acknowledging them in that way serves a much better purpose than kind of trying to control them. I had my daughter this morning. I said, "Hey, Chloe," and she goes, "I'm Jackson," and she wouldn't eat. So suddenly she assumed the identity of her brother. So my wife couldn't get her to eat. She was saying, "Come on, Chloe, you have to eat this to be a big girl." You know, all those traditional ways.
Mm-hmm.
And my instinct, my intuition said, just acknowledge that she's Jackson right now. I said, "Hi, Jackson.
Right.
That food in front of you is something you absolutely love." I swear, Chloe did not delay. She picked up the spoon and started shoveling the food in her mouth just because she was acknowledged as Jackson.
See, I love that.
Yeah.
I was going to say.
Well, it's part of the empathy that they do feel for others when they're allowed to feel into that term, feeling into things now, yeah. I think is very current. You know, that they have this great ability to slide in and out of things and in different focuses of attention and different, you know, sizes of, like, I'm my personal self, I'm my relationship, I'm my groups, I'm the whole world, you know, and they can do that. It's like a zoom lens on a camera going in and out and accessing the dream world and then accessing the physical world. And, you know, that's their play, really. I think with kids now, it's real important to ask them what they think about, you know, important questions. Well, what did you think was happening there? Or what do you think that girl's thinking about? Or and ask leading questions so that they'll think about how to answer these things, because they do know things at a very deep level. And it's good for them to hear themselves coming up with these interesting answers.
Mm-hmm. Now, before we run out of time, we have another question that came in. This one came in through instant message, and this one reads, "I have recently experienced a level of synchronicity that has been nothing short of astounding, and it so piqued my interest, I started reading about university studies on these topics from Virginia, Colorado, California, New Jersey, and Arizona. One Cornell study in precognitive involvement of 1,000 undergrads that resulted in unprecedented, almost incomprehensible positive results. I believe it is time we learn to harness and better use our senses and perceptions, and I am looking forward to reading your book. Thank you," and that is from John A. in Louisiana.
Oh, that's great. I think that we are all accelerating. You know, you can feel it. And that means our consciousness is accelerating, the frequency of our bodies is accelerating, and that means we're all becoming very ultra-sensitive and then highly empathic. Everybody is. I get these complaints all the time, like, I'm feeling too much, you know, and how do I regulate all this information I'm getting? And I think there are a lot of new skill sets coming that we're learning about how to work with energy, how to work with consciousness, and the inner world, you know. And that the inner world actually creates and forms the outer world. You know, change the inner blueprint of something and the outer form changes fairly quickly these days.
Well, Penny, I got to tell you, time has absolutely flown by, but I just want to share with everybody out there, the name of the book is Leap of Perception, The Transforming Power of Your Attention. If you would like to get any more information in regards to Penny, you can also go to her website, which is pennypierce.com. That's PennePierce.com. And again, for those of you driving, don't try to write this down now. Just
use your intuition.
Exactly. Use your intuition. Take it in. Meditate on it. Remember it. And deal with it once you get done. So, Penny, thank you so much for coming on. We appreciate it. As soon as I think you said you have another book that you have coming out, as soon as that one's ready, please get back in touch with us. We'd love to have you back.
Will do. Thanks so much.
All right. And for everybody out there, make sure that you subscribe or submit your name and download your free copy of The Attitude of Gratitude Journal, your 21-day guide to achieving the quality of thankfulness through self-discovery. With all the negative manipulation going on in the world right now, remember, the best way that you can make a positive difference is to spread the word, spread positive information. One of the ways is to introducing more people to this show, and we will spread it as well. Craig, thank you so much for coming on.
It was my pleasure. I'll see you this weekend at the Irvine Improv. Are you coming to the show?
Absolutely.
Guess what? I found a lady for you. It came up in my intuition.
Oh, right. Hey, all right. So,
right around where you live, too. I got it.
Even better.
I'll tell you off the air. I'm very excited about this one.
This is great. So, again, thank you, everybody. Be good human beings, and be with us again next week on Answers for the Family.
Founded over 25 years.
You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Matt Polacek, only on LA Talk Radio.